It is such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much. It is an encouragement when a church asks you to come back more than once. Okay? Amen. Yeah, it is an encouragement. And I got my timer going. Don't worry, this is not a full-length sermon. Just a few thoughts, a few reflections here. Okay? I'm glad to be here, especially because I was with Brian in Malaysia 3 weeks ago now, is it? Yeah. Okay. Oh, you weren't there. Oh, I thought you made it. Okay. I wondered why I didn't see you there. Okay. So 3 weeks ago, I was in Malaysia. Right there. Never mind, Brian. Forget it. I'm just trying to connect with the guy. What can I say?
Hey,
dude.
Hey, Richard. We thought he was there.
I know. Man, you should have gone with that one. It'd have been just fine. Okay. It was in Malaysia, big Christian conference. And, of course, as we were there, about 4,000 people, and 3,000 of them were from China. And, of course, everybody had the mask on and everything. You know, you look out at a crowd of 3,000 people, and they all got masks on out there. It was kind of weird. But you can imagine my wife back here was freaking out the whole time, right? So I had every hour I had to send a photograph of myself with my mask on, or I was going to be in trouble when I got back home. So you can see there's a portfolio of Richard in masks. But worse than that, after we got finished with that conference, we went to Singapore, and I spent another week, another 10 days. And so I'm okay. I'm safe. Okay, it's been over 2 weeks since I've been back, so you're okay. Don't worry. Don't go screaming, running out the room, please. But my wife has a habit of every time she wants to say, that's great or that's good, what she says is beautiful. Do any of you do that? Like beautiful, beautiful. That's beautiful, okay? Just kind of her habit. And I thought about that with regard to tonight and thinking to myself, you know, given the fact that for about 2 weeks there, I wasn't sure whether I was going to make it back. Now, I hadn't called Brian. I was going to wait till the last minute and let you know I can't come. Sorry, they quarantined me in Seattle. But happily, that didn't happen. And so when I come here tonight, I can honestly tell you, like my wife would say, it's beautiful to be here with you. Okay? And this is a beautiful thing that you have going on here tonight. But if you're anything like most people, that's probably not the first word that came to your mind when you thought about what you've been doing for the last 45 minutes. Now, the theme of this week that Brian did give me, you can affirm me, please.
Yes,
okay, good. The theme of this week, my role in it anyway, is to talk about how we do the mission of Christ together, both with the people that we would have in this room and that we call missionaries, and then the rest of us that are here. This is something we do together. And that's a lovely thing because it is absolutely beautiful as you sit in this room and look at each other and think about each other and who you are and what Christ has made you and what task Christ has given us to serve together. And there's a passage in the Bible that you'll know already, but you don't have to pick up new passages. You've heard it before. But I want to point out to you that the Apostle Paul thought that what's happening here tonight is a beautiful thing. And it should give us some pause that if the first thing that came to your mind was not, wow, this is really beautiful, breathtakingly beautiful, then maybe after we look at God's word for just a few moments, we can pause and look around again and see the beauty that's here. I'm referring to Romans chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul ends a section of his book here with words quoted from the prophet Isaiah, and you've heard them before, and they're the ones that refer to the word beautiful. As he says in verse 35, or I can't read, it's too small, 15 there. I don't know what it is about Bibles. They keep printing the print smaller and smaller and fuzzier. Have you noticed that? Okay. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful it is. And what I find fascinating about this is what leads up to it. What led Paul to conclude, well, that's really beautiful, breathtakingly beautiful. What led him to do that? Well, what I'm going to do is just kind of walk you through what he said before he came to that conclusion quoting Isaiah again about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And he starts off and he says in verse 11, "For the scriptures say, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now that's beautiful. Because what he says here is that something changed when Jesus came. And that is that the good news, the gospel, the hope of eternal life was not just something that was now located in Israel with some edges of Gentiles every once in a while that get added on and that kind of thing. But rather that once Christ came, the doors were opened wide for Gentile dogs like most of us in this room tonight. Aren't you glad you live now rather than 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago? Because 4,000 years ago, even in the days of David and even in the days of Isaiah, much more recent than that, just a couple of thousand years ago plus, it was not the case that we could say Jew and Gentile are redeemed by God and justified by God in the same way. And what's that way? By faith, so that all people, no matter who they are, no matter what their background is, no matter what nation, what part of the world they belong to, if they call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. That's a lovely thing, because if you and I did not live in this age of Jesus, this age of the gospel message that goes to all the world, we would not be saved. Are you glad about that? It's a beautiful thing. And let me add this to it. And we can think of ourselves these days more or less like the Jews. Here we are at Briarwood Presbyterian Church. We are the people. We've had a long history, generation to generation to generation, of people who have received the gospel and passed it on and passed it on and passed it on. But also we have here tonight missionaries that go to places where there has not been that kind of passing on. People who have never heard the good news of Christ, who've never been exposed to it, who do not know it. And yet right here in this room, we have the people who are sharing their faith and sharing and witnessing for Christ among people who do not have the kind of heritage that we have. And they are coming to Christ and they are knowing him. They are calling on his name and they are being saved as well. You see, what's happening in Jesus is a worldwide spread of salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, isn't that a beautiful thing? Worldwide. I'm not going to give away everything I'm going to say through the week. I have to be careful, you know, in this little introductory thing, not to say too much here. But the fact is that as bleak as it appears at times in our own homeland, the good news of Jesus is going forth with great power around the world. And that is a beautiful thing. And many of the people in this room who are your missionaries are the ones who are at the front line of that great forward movement of the good news of Christ in the world. It's lovely. Okay, so the basic truth of the Christian faith, that all who call in the name of Jesus, no matter who they are or where they live or what their backgrounds are, that basic truth is magnificent and does lead the Apostle Paul to say, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news. But he doesn't stop there. There's still a section in here. I know you can't see it in your Bibles unless you have your phone out or something, but there are more verses that intervene between what we just read and the ones to come. And they are those well-known missionary conference verses. And you've heard them before, haven't you? He says, in verse 13, isn't that funny? I can't see the numbers. I had to get a magnifying glass. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord," everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he starts asking some questions, and you've heard these questions before. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Great question. "And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news." You see, Paul's breath was taken away by this thing we call the mission, not simply because of the wonder of the message that we bring, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord from all over the earth will be saved, but also the astonishing process by which that takes place. Now, a lot of us in this room are glad to be Presbyterians. Anybody here glad to be a Presbyterian?
Hey.
All right, good. I am one, and I'm one like Harry by choice, and that makes us real ones, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. We weren't born in this thing, were we? Nor raised in it, no. So if you're a Presbyterian by choice, that makes you a real Presbyterian. And one of the things that we like about this branch of the church is how we emphasize that salvation is a sovereign gift from God by free grace, that He's the one who's in control of it all. He's the one that brings salvation to people who are saved, and that people are, in many respects, insignificant in that whole process, that it's a sovereign act of God, and all that's true. And you should be glad to know that. If you don't believe that, I would ask you to consider that, because it's a magnificent thing to know that salvation is in the hand of God and He gives it freely to those whom He chooses. But that is not what the apostle talks about in this passage, is it? He doesn't say everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved because salvation is a sovereign act of God. That's not what he says, is it? His breath is taken away by the process by which people who call on the name of the Lord are actually saved. And how does that happen? Well, they hear and call. And how can they call if they don't believe? Well, how are they going to believe if they haven't heard? And how are they going to hear if somebody doesn't go and preach to them? Well, you know, in the back of our minds, we're going, well, God could do it. Well, God could do it. Well, God could do it. And I guess in some extraordinary circumstances, that might even be true. But not the normal circumstance, is it? Not the normal way. The way that God ordained for this great news of salvation to all the nations, to go to all the nations, is by people taking the word of God to them. And they will hear it and they will believe it. Now, that's a beautiful thing, that God would choose to use the missionaries who are in this room. Where are you? Would you just raise your hand if you're on the missionary staff this week, please? Just raise them real high, please. Look at you now. You should have a missionary at your table because they were told not to congregate together. Okay. You see those people? How beautiful they are. Now, I can tell you, the rest of you who are here, like me, they usually don't feel very beautiful. Their lives are hard and difficult, and they feel beat up, and they're tired, and they're weary. There might be some exceptions, but not very many. But now, look again at that person at your table. Actually, look at them. The one who's a missionary. And I want you to see the beauty of what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, that God would choose a person like him, a person like her, and it would be through these kinds of people, it would be through these kinds of people that people will hear about Jesus and they will believe in him and they will call on his name and they will receive eternal salvation. Could there be anything more beautiful than that? That's how lovely they are. But let's go a step further, because I didn't stop at the end. I stopped just short of it. Remember what he says? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And that's what leads him to say, as it is written, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Not just simply the preachers. And not simply that people believe, as wonderful as that is, but also that there are people who send them. And that's the rest of you. Okay, missionaries, raise your hand one more time, please. Thank you very much. Now put them down. Now look around the table. You see these people that are around the table? Now we're talking about the Marines here tonight, okay? This is the CMT, right? GMT. Yeah, Global Mission Team. okay? CMT, GMT. One's on TV, one's not, I know. Okay? Okay. So the GMT, these are the people who give their time and their effort and their prayers and their money far beyond what you could possibly imagine. These are the people who stay late at night for meetings. These are the people who, sorry, these are the people who, time's up. Good. These are the people who spend long evenings talking about these things. These are people who orient their entire calendar, their annual calendar, toward this event. These are the ones who have been contacting you. These are the ones who have set it all up. These are the ones who have made it possible for you to do what you do in service to Christ. Now take a look at them again. They may be total strangers to you. Look around the table at them. Smile at them. Those people are beautiful. You see, unless you're an extraordinary person, a dinner like this was just something you said, wow, I thought we just did that like last week. It's been a whole year. That's all right, honey. We can make it. Or unless you're extraordinary, an extraordinary missionary, you probably drove up here tonight saying things like this, at least to yourself. Are we really going to have to do this again? But see, the process by which the good news of Jesus goes to the ends of the earth is what we're celebrating right here tonight. We're celebrating the fact that we who stay here cannot do that without you. And you are celebrating the fact that you cannot do it without the people who stay here. And that is breathtakingly beautiful. So before you end this evening and just run out to the car to get home, don't worry. I'm sure you're recording whatever's on TV. It'll be okay. Nobody will die for not seeing your TV show tonight. Take a few minutes and look around yourself to people that you haven't seen, you haven't spoken to. And just take in just how wonderful it is that the Lord would use people like us to bring about this great kingdom work. It's a beautiful thing. And we ought to join the apostle. We ought to join the apostle and celebrate its beauty. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we bless you and we honor you. We honor you for the fact that we have been given the privilege to be involved in such a beautiful thing. We do grow tired and weary. Things become mundane to us. We struggle sometimes to keep our faith and our eyes set on you. But tonight, right now, we pause and say, what the apostle said is true. It's astonishingly beautiful that you would use us to bring your kingdom to this earth. And we bless you for it. And we bless each other. Amen.